Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol.
I can't believe that's the last time I'm going to say that this season.
Oh, stop that. Don't even.
The season flew.
It was so fast.
So fast.
So fast.
So fast. D1 Summit's coming up. But we can't get there without mentioning Worlds.
Oh my God. It was such... I feel like I say this like almost every weekend, but... So much beautiful cheerleading that went on this weekend. Like,
I have to admit, I did not watch it live. So I watched everything after the fact. So it was a fun experience, though, because, like, okay, when Beatles won, mm-hmm. I found out from text. People were texting me to tell me that Beatles won.
Oh, I texted you.
and congratulations, Beatles, world champions. I would like to say that I feel like I'm their lucky charm.
Really? Yes, absolutely. I would like to say that.
Senior Elite did amazing.
They put on some beautiful stuff this weekend. Came in second. Silver and Sexy. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
I love that video of the first day they competed and the crowd was singing.
Oh my God. I showed that on Facebook. Oh my. One day. Goals. Legit. Hashtag goals.
The love that people have for that team is...
It is amazing. It is also kind of scary because... Because they were like kind of going off on World Cup. I know everyone's heard. Like people were like really upset. I just love cheerleading. Like everyone, I think for the most part, you guys know that I'm a big SE kid. Heck yes.
You were about to say girl, weren't you?
I was. I'm a big one. And I love my girls. Shooting Stars, they did beautiful. They haven't had like the best season, but when it counted, where it counted,
they came through.
They did that thing, and it was great.
Every routine I saw, I didn't see every single one. I saw basically people have been on the podcast. Mm-hmm. and everyone just looked beautiful. Yes. Everyone looked beautiful. I love to see the sportsmanship. I saw good sportsmanship. Stayed off of Twitter, so I don't know what's happening on Twitter.
Oh, that's where I saw a lot of...
You saw a lot of the...
Yeah, things, like negative...
I just saw great cheerleading. I saw great sportsmanship as
Absolutely.
Far as what I, you know, was able to see. And I'm just so proud of everyone. Yeah. Everyone. I mean, you went to Worlds. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know what percentage. That's probably like 1% of the cheerleading community.
It may change. It probably does change. But a couple years ago at D2, like during check-in, they were like, 90-something% of the cheerleading world is not here this weekend, and you made it. So, like, that's huge itself. So, heck yeah. Probably because the other 90% was at World.
I sort of feel like our numbers are great. Victor's podcast last week did phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's been a fantastic season. We tripled our numbers. I was hoping for a double.
Yeah, we did.
and I think it'll probably be quadruple by the end of it all being said and done. Sorry, my voice sounds scratchy.
No, my voice was horrible this weekend.
I think mine's allergy related, but I'm not sure.
I think mine was screaming and counting.
but everyone did I was just so impressed with cheerleading. The quality of the cheerleading. And the only thing I want to cut quickly to our interview, because it's an amazing interview with mm-hmm. Kristen Rosario from yep. Top 10. but I wanted to touch really quickly on one topic that we kind of talked about all season.
Yeah.
And we didn't really wrap it up, mm-hmm. which was the glam thing. Yeah. When we talk a little bit in the interview about it. But when I went and looked at the videos and I went to look at the teams, I kind of kept that in my... you know, mm-hmm. mine, because I wanted to be able to say something about it. And I know that Worlds has an age requirement, right?
It depends on the division.
Okay, but I'm saying there's not minis there.
Oh, no. No, it's...
I don't know what it is.
Mostly like senior teams, but they are like, actually, I don't even think like junior international goes there.
So watching that with that age, you know, whatever, yeah. I feel like everyone there seemed to be a teenager or older.
Yeah.
Or young, you know, 12, 13 maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't feel, I looking at it from a glam perspective, and by the way, love the new uniforms for Top Gun. Did
oh my God. Yeah. Okay. I was waiting when we were going to bring it.
Before I get distracted. But I looked at all the teams that I watched and everything. I've got to say, at that age, I didn't feel that creepy, you know,
yeah,
over sexualized,
yeah,
thing that, you know, sometimes our industry gets
absolutely
accused of. I didn't see it.
Nope.
I saw strong, beautiful, talented girls becoming women.
Yes.
That's what I saw.
Yes.
So I'm not saying we have a definitive answer on glam, mm-hmm. but for that age, I feel like they did us proud. They
absolutely
did the whole industry proud.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, I did see those uniforms. I was so excited. Someone busted out new uniforms.
And I feel like someone told us that they weren't getting uniforms.
Well, they're probably maybe tricking us, you know.
Oh, well, they got me.
Yeah.
Because I want to know who like, do they produce that commercial? Or is it even like a commercial?
I'm
or
sure.
Like,
I'm not sure, but I would assume it's Rebel.
Like they do it there. Okay.
I mean,
because I was obsessed.
The production value on those videos are amazing. I mean, that's why I'm assuming it's a large company. I don't know, but I'm assuming
that it's so good.
Yeah, but it was a fantastic cheerleading weekend, and just congratulations to everyone, every coach,
absolutely,
every cheerleader, and you know. A special shout out again to Beatles. I feel
a special shout out.
I really, because I felt like I got so many texts, you know, because I guess the season I said, you know, they might be my favorites, or yeah, they are my favorites.
Yeah.
And I guess that stuck with people that I said that. So I was like, aw. Even though, you know, I'm not technically a Beatle. So. but congratulations to everyone. I mean, just such a fantastic story.
Yes.
Kennedy coming back from mm-hmm. that injury. Sophia's on that team. Angel Rice is on that team. I'm so proud of them. Senior Elite, you had an amazing season.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to see what you guys do next season.
Who knows what that woman has in her head? Because you know she's already thinking about it.
Did you see the video where she was reacting day one?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Yes.
We're talking about Courtney Pope. She was reacting to her team day one, and mm-hmm. it was just a...
She did get...
world champion for Lady...
Lady Lux. So her oldest daughter, did win world, so...
I mean, I think they all medaled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I saw something. It was like they had like 200 and something, 225 athletes, and 101 of them got a world medal.
And didn't Top Gun also got a back-to-back? I thought I saw.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to think. There's so many Top Gun teams.
I know. I think it was one of the, like, the older ones, like
yeah.
International or Open.
Everyone did a great job.
Y'all sleeping on Lady Jags, though. They came up and got second. Y'all were sleeping on them. They were in, like, seventh day one. Girls are bad. I need them. Large senior next year. And M5. Oh, my God, my bombshells. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, we need to talk about more people than Beatles and Senior Elite. So
bombshells. I straight up killed it. Them's my girls. You Celebrity Elite.
Did you see anyone that surprised you?
That surprised me. I don't think so.
Yeah, everyone just brought it. I felt like.
Like killed it.
Yeah. It was an exciting world. You guys did us proud.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Congratulations to everyone.
And on that wonderful note, ooh, do you want to introduce?
you guys may hear me sniffle a little bit. Because I'm probably sobbing, but Kristen Rosario, co-owner of Top Gun Miami.
You know what? I'm sorry to do this to you on your intro, but I forgot to say, I just have to say one thing about Victor's
yes.
episode. I get feedback from parents, mm-hmm. and we get the Dear Marcuses from cheerleaders.
Yeah.
But Dear Marcus and Marisols. Rarely hear from coaches. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get an anonymous Dear Marcus and Marisol.
From,
no, it was good. It was just two lines, but it was basically like, I'm a coach. I listened to your interview. I've been dialing it in. He's inspired me.
Absolutely.
I thought that was so cool.
Absolutely.
So I need to take a minute and say thank you. Thank you, Victor, for coming on. That was a piece of cheerleading history.
No, that...
Yeah. So...
Absolutely.
Thank you. And now, his beautiful wife.
Okay, so... I feel like I say this every week that like I'm like really excited about this, that I'm really excited about this interview, but this one I am really excited about. I had the pleasure of listening to her talk at a regional meeting in Atlanta a couple years ago, and I was in awe. And I have a picture somewhere, so when we like post this, we'll have to like post the picture. But I'm so excited to have Kristen Rosario from Top Gun All Stars. How's it going, Kristen?
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
I am. I'm going to piggyback on Marcus's introduction to say that. So we've been really lucky and fortunate to have had a lot of people on the podcast that have been, since being on the podcast, have kind of become friends. And so when we call it a get in podcasting, like a get, I get really excited. And so I told people about you and your husband, and I told you this before we started recording. Universally, everyone was so excited about you and gave you, let me just say, they didn't just give you compliments, and including your own husband. Including your own husband did not only give you compliments for like your business mind and the speeches that you've given and the thoughtfulness that you bring to cheerleading, but also as, this is the biggest one I've gotten, as you as a mom, which to me is like the biggest compliment. Absolutely. You can give someone.
Absolutely. Thank you. That means the world to me. I honestly, all I can say is, you know, just like everybody else, try to do the best I can. I'm by far nowhere near perfect, but I just try to do everything with a lot of love, and somehow I've been blessed to end up in mostly good spots. Oh.
Do you mind if we ask you to tell us the story of when you first met Victor? He told us his version.
And so I love getting both sides of the story. No, this is awesome. And I've heard this story. So like, I'm just in awe. I'm sorry, Kristen, proceed.
It's actually really funny. So I'm sure we have a slightly different version, but pretty much the same in the wise that I was a private school girl. He was in public school, and I actually, my neighbor went to the same school that he went to. So we went to a basketball game. We were like just real good friends. We went to a basketball game, and unbeknownst to me, I guess my neighbor sort of had like a little crush on me. But here comes the cheerleaders. They come out tumbling. And here comes Victor. And I turned to my neighbor. I'm like, who is that? That guy is so good looking. And for whatever reason, you know, my neighbor got really annoyed and was like, oh, well, he's going to the Olympics. You'll never have a chance with him. And I was like, dude, I don't even know him. I was just making the comment. So that was,
wait, I have to interrupt. Did your neighbor by any chance maybe have a little bit of a crush on you?
I think he did. Unbeknownst to me, I think he did at the time. But I didn't know that at the time. So I was just like, okay, well, that was the end of that. I mean, I never even thought anything of it because of the simple fact that, like I said, I went to a private school. They went to a completely different school. Didn't see him again for a whole year. The way that the world works, as crazy as it is, that was almost like a foreshadowing into my life. The following year, we ended up stumbling on a little bit of hard times, and I kept telling my mom I was dying to go to public school. And of course, you know, as a parent, she's like, oh, I'm a little worried, you know, the kind of kids in those schools. I'm like, mom, I'm a good kid. You raised me right. So she finally allowed me to go to public school, and I was in the dance group. So that's what I did. I was a dancer. And one of our mutual friends who was a dancer and cheerleader told me, hey, if you need a ride home from school today, I can give you a ride. I just have practice. And I said, oh, no problem. I would love to watch the cheerleaders. So I went to watch their practice. And ironically, that practice, their advisor, either she got sick or had to leave home early and ended up not staying for practice. So the practice was kind of a bust. And me and Victor talked the entire 2 hour practice. And we like really hit it off. So I, again, still had no idea that this was the guy I saw a year ago. And then we got in the car when my friend went to go take me home, he said to me, oh my God, you and Victor really hit it off. And I was like, yeah, really nice guy. He's like, he doesn't talk to anybody. He's real quiet and shy. I'm like, really? Because I couldn't get him to shut up. So anyways, we became really good friends and eventually, you know, we started dating. But years later, I ended up seeing my neighbor again. And he's like, oh my God, I heard you were dating Victor. And I was like, yeah, how'd you hear that? He goes, Chris, you know who that is, right? And I'm like, huh? He said, that was that little guy that you were like, oh, that, who is that guy? He's so good looking, the Tumblr one. And I said, no way. So that's kind of funny how it all worked out.
That's perfect.
When we first met.
That's such a sweet story.
Y'all are so perfect. Oh my goodness.
I said in Victor's interview, I said that, having not met you, I said, well, I bet she probably saw you and was like, somewhere in her body was like, that's good DNA over there.
Get that one.
Subconsciously.
It's funny.
Were you a cheerleader?
We really hit it off. I was. Okay. So I danced, like I said, most of my life. And then after meeting him, I had always wanted to cheer. When I was really, really little, my babysitter was a cheerleader for her school, which also ended up being the high school that we both ended up at. But I was their mascot. So I would just kind of come to the games and it would dress me up and I loved it.
what was the mascot though? Just out of curiosity.
Okay, so we both went to, both Victor and I ended up graduating from South Miami. Mm-hmm. When I was little, I was a South Miami mascot, which it was a cobra. Of course, they didn't dress me up as a cobra, but they dressed me up like a little cheerleader with like all these little like pins and stuff. And I had to put my hair in a big bow. I think I have a picture somewhere of it. But so I always loved the cheerleaders. So when I met Victor, we kind of talked. One of the reasons we hit it off so well is because we were able to talk technique. Because, you know, arabesque is never arabesque, and pointed toes are pointed toes, and locked knees are locked knees. So mm-hmm. We ended up hitting it off because I loved how much attention to detail he had. And in turn, he made me end up loving, you know, cheerleading. So I was like, you know, I'd love to learn how to stunt. He actually taught me how to fly, which was kind of easy for me since I had so much balance from dance. And after that year, we ended up the very following year, I ended up trying out for the high school cheer team my junior year. Made it that team. The following year, I was the captain. And then I cheered in college and kind of the rest is history from there.
Oh my gosh. So you started, that's an inspiring story to start.
No, absolutely.
Like right now watching cheerleaders, mm-hmm. You watch those little bitties on social media and I'm like, what is cheerleading going to be like in 20? Like,
yeah, when they're running it.
But it's
crazy.
I
look at it now and I'm like, oh my goodness, if I had to do the things that these kids have to do now, I probably would be like, back into the left, barely make the team.
No, yeah, I'd be stuck on level two for the rest of my career.
So,
yeah, no, definitely. I'm so glad that I'm retired and old, and I'm definitely inspired by my athletes because what they have to do in 2.5 minutes. I mean, I couldn't do with an air pump in about 15 minutes.
Well, we got a lot of details from Victor about, you know, how Top Gun came to be and so on, and he gave you, I have to say, you know, I know we have a lot of dads that listen to our podcast. Victor has done it right when he gives his wife credit.
he's been great. He's a wonderful man. I can't say enough about my husband and the attention to detail and his technique. And in all honesty, his mind is an amazing thing. There are still days that he creates things. And we've been together for, gosh, since I was 15, so many, many years. I'm going to tell you how old I am. And I still, to this day, he'll say something, give a correction, or come up with something different that I've never seen before. And I just look at him, and I'm in awe. I'm like, how does your brain work? And this is somebody who I've coached next to for 25 years.
That's
still, he never ceases to amaze me.
Oh my God, that's such an amazing compliment. Well, he gave a compliment He basically, you know, the success of Top Gun,
he gave to you,
which I thought was incredibly humbling and incredibly beautiful, and made me teary and, you know, eat like a pound of chocolate that night. But
he's really sweet. We really are, Ebony and Ivory. Like, he's the yin to my yang. Honestly, Top Gun would not be what it is without his mind and his creative spirit, his attention to detail. And likewise, I'm sure it probably wouldn't be the same without, I guess, that driving force behind it to make sure that the other things got done, like paying the bills and keeping things organized.
That's what he pretty much gave you credit for, everything else. I believe accounting was like the first thing on the list, which is huge. So having heard the story of Top Gun and the birth of it from Victor, I kind of wanted to use this time with you to really get like the female perspective of coaching and the industry.
Yes.
And, you know, I've never been a cheerleader. But I'm a parent. I come from it from a parenting perspective. And then now with Cheerbomb, I get to see all this whole industry just evolving at such a fast pace. But one of the things I love about this industry is the female empowerment. I mean, it's at least on stage a female dominated industry. Absolutely. And they're strong and they're powerful and they're disciplined. And, you know, the older girls are so empowered and beautiful and just strong. I just love everything about it. If there's a sport that I could get behind, it would be it would be cheerleading. So I want to talk about that and get the female perspective of it. Since I would say she's, you know, another like original, the OG of this
absolutely
industry.
100%. I like to think of. Hold on, I'm sorry, Kristen. You can answer the question. I'll talk.
I was asking.
No, that's okay.
But don't you?
No, go ahead.
Don't you say feel like you've been here since like the inception of what is now an industry? Because
We have been lucky enough to see it grow, and I do think we were extremely lucky to start when we did. I believe it's a little harder now because there are so many gyms and so many options, you know, that we've been blessed and the wise to learn as we grew and to make those mistakes. But I would agree with you. It is an amazing way to teach women, especially, I mean, people in general, because I have tons and tons of athletes that would not be who they are as people now, even males, had they not had this in their lives. But I absolutely agree with you that it does open up such a stepping stone for kids to hear their own voices, even, because when you give them that confidence that, you know, this is who you are, you have a voice, you're good at what you do, and put them in front of a stage, which I can't tell you how many kids alone tell me, oh my goodness, Coach K, I did so great on my presentation. I wasn't even worried. And I looked at all the kids around me and they were like terrified to go in front of, you know, 5 or 10 people in our class. And I was like, this is nothing. Have you ever been on the stage? You know, but little things like that you don't realize become such big details. And the biggest thing for me are the struggles that they have to go through. I mean, nowadays, and forgive me, we protect our children so much from so many things. The majority of us do, at least we try to. And a lot of the little things that you can't protect them from, you know, disappointment in not, for instance, not winning every time, or, you know, having to really work hard at something that you can't filter or that you can't just gain access to by, you know, Googling it. You truly have to work hard at it. This is not something that's going to be given to you. It's going to be earned. Every skill you get, it has to be earned. And that's part of life. You know, everything that you get at work, you have to earn it. You have to. And I'm going to tell you that the majority of my kids, they come back and I'm so proud of what they've done with themselves and whatever avenue of work they've chosen, they flourish at. Either they're, you know, the manager here or, you know, getting ready to be the VP there. It's pretty interesting at how they just rise and they keep rising because of what they've learned simply from being part of a team.
I wasn't a cheerleader, but I danced ballet, and I always give that discipline, you know, that having the rehearsal, you're part of a not a team, but a chorus. You're that discipline, the success I have today comes from that, from being
100%
part of something that was just greater than me. And then the stage presence and the, you know, tryouts and auditions and all that built the character that I have to do the things that, you know, at 40, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to start podcasting because I want to. I have stuff to say.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And you're not afraid to fail because it's happened before and you realize, okay, I failed, I made mistakes. And then, you know what? I got back on my 2 feet and kept going and I'm still here and I'm still okay. And the world didn't end because of it.
And that's something I try to talk to, you know, parents about when we talk about, you know, the cost of cheerleading or the price of it. Many of us feel like we do this not for any end result. We don't do this because our kids potentially are going to be a world champion, you know, or have some career in cheerleading for the rest of their life. We do it because of their passion and love for it, and it lit something up in them that then had a positive effect around them.
Absolutely. Some of our most successful athletes, we have a girl that never made it past level 2, and she's one of the most prominent lawyers in Miami, and her mom tells us all the time, she's one of those kids that like never forgets. And funny enough, she ended up getting a full scholarship to the school that she went to in Washington just on cheer. And ironically, she was, like I said, she was only a level 2 athlete, but her mom always says it was the drive, the dedication, the knowing how to work with others that made her who she is today. So it's not about, you know, winning a world championship for us. I mean, that, although that's great, I mean, that those come and go, and some years you get them and some years you don't, and it's okay either way. But the things that these kids walk away with, I know for one, being, you know, a mom that has 2 girls in cheer, whether or not they get any kind of end results from cheerleading other than the kind of people I want them to be has never mattered to me. I actually had a friend that once told me, I'd rather spend the $5,000 it takes to have her cheer this year than the $10,000 it may take to pull her out of jail one day. And I laughed at it all the time. I'm like, keep her busy. That's right. Keep her busy.
Completely agree. I completely agree. Marcus, I feel like I'm hogging the conversation. Do you have a question to ask?
I was just going to say, I can like 100% attest to that. I'm sure a million others can say that I wouldn't be the person, not just like the cheerleader or the coach that I am today, but like the person that I am today without the confidence that I got from being on a team
and the experience
in the industry. So
yeah, and look at you now, you're on a
and
podcast.
Sense
and look
of belonging. At
that. Yes,
I also feel a sense of belonging. Yeah, definitely, because you know a lot of kids also. I mean, we have every walk of life, you know, every race, ethnicity, every type, every style, you know, from the most eclectic kids on earth to the most, you know, I guess vanilla kids on earth. And I say vanilla meaning like plain Jane, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, and from the highest economical and financial background to the very lowest. And it's crazy how well they all get along because they all have a common thing they love. And you'd be amazed at how they just always have these bonds, these friendships for years after because of this one common goal. You know, otherwise they would have never ever met, never seen each other, never known who each other they even were. And it's amazing how it shows you that all people, doesn't matter what you are, who you are, can get along if you have the right platform.
So I'm going to ask this question because we, you know, there's such a wide range of age for girls. I'm going to go back to girls. I know male athletes, I love you, but I'm going to give my girls some attention now.
We can have a little girl talk.
Okay, a little girl talk. So there's such a wide range in an age in this industry, and I'd never like to talk about the little bitties because I'm still conflicted about that. But and then the older girls, the girls that I've interviewed who have stuck with cheerleading, I'm always so impressed by them, always consistently impressed by their discipline, by what they've learned. I mean, they'll come on the podcast and talk about things and I'm blown away. I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't have that depth at 16, 17 or 18 or, you know, 29 really. But there's this age group in the middle school age where, you know, we used to have this segment on the podcast the first season called Dear Marcus and Marisol, where kids could write in. And that middle school age was just constant drama within the, you know, cheerleading world. And and I've always wanted to ask a female, you know, gym owner and a female coach, how do you guys minimize that? How do you address that? Because I have to believe, and again, I'm coming from a non-cheerleader background, that the female perspective is probably different than the male perspective on that. Because how do you...
It is definitely a struggle. I will tell you that the middle school age is by far the toughest age as a human, having to go through it, and also as a parent having to deal with it, and as a coach having to see it. That those teenagers, boy, they can be some mean kids.
And now you add the social media mix. I keep telling people I'm so grateful.
That's how we keep them accountable. We have a lot of staff that, you know, I call them my minions, since I don't have social media and I don't have it for this very same reason. I feel that, you know, so many kids, it gives them a platform to be mean to others because they become these keyboard warriors. It's so easy to write something where you're not having to look at somebody's face. So that's how we make them accountable. My staff will, you know, if they find something or they see something that's not nice or not right, mm-hmm. we will sit those kids down together, and they literally have to face each other and talk to each other and express how they're feeling about it. And until we can come up with a resolution, and sometimes that resolution may be like, you know, I'm not happy with what you did. It hurt me, but I respect that we need to be on the same team and we need to be cordial to each other. So moving forward, we're going to not do stuff like this anymore. That might be the, unfortunately, the bare minimum you get, but eventually that respect turns into more. Mm-hmm. And in doing little things like that, just making them accountable. Did you say this? Because look, we have it on black and white.
Yeah.
And then they have to say, you know what, I didn't realize that that's how it made you feel. I had no intention of making you feel that way. And now I read it again and I see that, yeah, that was probably not the nicest way to handle something. And of course, you know, we can focus on our kids and even the ones that post things about others that are not in our program, we make them very accountable for that as well. We bring them in and we say, no, we don't do this here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not who we are. And if this is who you are, you need to reassess whether or not this program is made for you.
Oh, I love that.
Do you bring their parents involved or do you set them aside?
I'm sorry?
When you guys like have meetings with like those kind of athletes, do you make their parents involved? Do you bring their parents in with that also, or do you?
Yes. We have to, because they're still so young. We will make the parents aware of what's going on. If it's something that it's not quickly resolvable, sometimes kids say little things that, you know, are, and when I tell you that we're so on top of it, that sometimes even the parents are like, well, that's a little harsh. And I'll have to look at the parent and say, it may seem harsh to you right now, but in the long run, it's going to help your child, you know, overall. So for instance, you might sit them out of a practice for, you know, making a nasty social media comment or, you know, little things like that. If it's very tiny, mm-hmm. we'll just address the kid directly and be like, was this the right decision? And they'll be like, ooh, no, it wasn't. And we'll be like, okay, take down the comment. That'll be the end of that. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that requires a little bit more of a talking to, then yes, we always call the parents in if, you know, the athlete is, you know, a certain age, definitely the middle school age. As they get older and into the high school age, a lot of times you can address the athlete directly. And it's funny, like with my kids now, most of the time, it's not even me having to say, what are you thinking? It was this a smart choice? Mm-hmm. And I guess because now they know how we are and who we are, they'll reread it and be like, ooh, yeah, I probably could have handled that differently. And funny enough, they now police each other. So a lot of times, before it even hits me, one of my kids, not meaning my own children, like meaning one of my kids that I coach, will say, so this happened, but don't worry about it. I already took care of it. And I'll be like, take care of it. I'll say, yeah. I made him take it down already. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
I got it handled.
Yep, exactly. It's amazing. They really do police each other. And the kids who have been with us longer will kind of help guide the newer ones going, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Abort.
Well, I always think about this platform of these females, these cheerleaders, this, like, I think of cheerleading as like this huge army, this huge woman group of girls that, you know, we're sending off to become adults. And when I hear you speak, and when I've, you know, talked to some of the older athletes, I am comforted. I am really comforted by how these girls are growing up and who they're becoming. But I want to expose that to everyone, you know, because there's so many gyms who are, because of geography, size of gyms or whatever, who aren't going to be able to hear you speak or aren't going to see you at a competition. I'm always really happy when we have someone on the podcast to talk about that so that it'll be there for infinity to hear, hey, you know what, middle school, it's going to be tough.
And you know, something I find amazing about cheerleading is that as women, unfortunately, and I don't know why or where in evolution this happened, but we always, for some reason, are so much in competition with each other, way more than males are. You know, it's like, you know, who's got the better hair? Who's got the better outfit on? Who's more in shape, you know? And what I love about cheerleading is that for the first time, at least in my life, I didn't feel like I was in competition with other females. I felt like they needed to do just as well as I needed to do for our end game to be what we all wanted, was to perform well. And it was such a refreshing thing to actually have a group of girls be like, wow, you know, that looks amazing on you. Look, the outfit looks amazing on all of us, you know, or hey, that stunt hit so good. I'm so proud of you. And to have that power boost from other women rather than, you know, like I said, a lot of times we happen to be in competition for whatever reason. And for the first time, it was a group of us working for the same goal, and we had support of each other. And I do believe that that's what has turned into why my office staff is so great, because the same people who were part of that initial, I'm going to call it my team, but they were really, some of them were parents, some of them were kids I coached, some of them were athletes that cheered with me. We were so supportive of each other that now that same group that has become my staff, we're also very supportive of each other. And it's not that negative workspace. It's that I'm so glad that you're here. I haven't seen that. In fact, just this past weekend, one of the girls that works in the office with me, Ashley, she's like my right-hand girl in the office, and she had college nationals with NCA, so she was gone for 3 days. Now you think it's only 3 days, but I saw her yesterday. I gave her the biggest hug, and I was like, I miss you so much. With me too. And it's great to feel that way about a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
So refreshing.
I agree with cheerleading. I actually see a difference between when I see the girls be supportive of each other or the team. You can tell the team that's working together, and you can tell the team that's not. You see it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
As a spectator who couldn't tell you a tumbling pass, I can tell you that team is bonded, that team is not. Mm-hmm. And
it's so interesting that that's what you remember. And that's what I think all of us as humans remember. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that. You know, as kids, I think they forget, like, who's got what skill and who's throwing what. But at the end of the day, like I told you, the championships, they kind of erase. My kids laugh at me because they're like, Coach Kristen, which years did you guys win NCAA? And I'm like, I don't know. Victor's the encyclopedia. I don't know that, but I can tell you who said what.
It is crazy, our memories.
About so-and-so.
Well, I'm going to pivot the conversation, though, away from the cheerleaders and kind of have the same topic about the parents, because I feel like, I'm going to say female parents.
Cheer moms.
Have a reputation for not being, I mean, the overall, if outside of the industry, but I would so also say very, very much within the industry, the reputation of a cheer mom is not good. It is crazy. It is that we, you know, are creating brands.
Cheerleaders.
It doesn't have to be. That's the crazy thing. It doesn't have to be. I think the crazy cheer moms, as we're going to call them, are the reason why I was always the way that I was with my children when they were growing up. They didn't have social media until they were like 13 and 15. They didn't have, nobody even knew they were our kids. We didn't coach them until they were so old that they had no other team to make, and it was like, oh darn, all right, get a coach now. You know, but the coaches were the ones that raised them. And I mean, I remember my daughter one day coming into the office saying, you need to fire Coach Chris. And I was like, oh, do I now? And why is that? And she was like, because he said that we were acting like babies. And I go, and were you? And they both kind of just looked at me and stomped out. And I go, well, then, there you have it. Apparently you were, you know. One time I told my daughter, I'll never forget this, this is the funny story ever. One time I told my daughter, she goes, put cross arms, and she goes, I'm just mad. And I said, okay, so then if you don't like cheerleading, just quit. And she looked at me and she goes, what kind of a mother are you? And I said, the kind that doesn't want a sad kid. I said, however, if you're going to say, this is what I'm going to do, then you're going to stick to it until the season's over, because you don't do that to your team. So since we're at tryouts, you make that decision, and whatever it is that you decide, you stick with it. And I think that was the only time I ever had to do that. But it was the funniest thing. I remember telling Victor, yep, she just asked me what kind of mother I was.
I get asked that all the time.
I think what parents don't realize is that in their passion for their children to thrive, they are usually the reason why their children crack. And I say crack meaning they don't want to do it anymore. They freak out under the pressure. They're in the gym. Instead of enjoying it, they're looking at their parents to see if they're satisfying them. Mm-hmm. And as parents, our job, our number one job, the day that we gave birth, our number one job obviously is to, you know, protect them and keep them safe. But our second thing was to always be their biggest supporters and cheerleaders. And every moment that we look at our kid and aren't there to tell them how great they were, how wonderful they were. I was very blessed. I had a mother that knew nothing about any of the sports. I mean, she was a piano player, so she, I don't think she even was athletic at all. But, I mean, she would tell me, I would roll on my face on the ground, and she'd be like, that was so great, that mud got in your face. Like, perfect thing. And I would look at her and be like, okay, Mom, whatever. But she never missed a thing, and I think that that's why I am the way that I am. It's because even though sometimes I was like, this woman knows nothing, she was still my biggest cheerleader, and it made me feel good that I made her proud. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think parents don't always realize, that, you know, it's a coach's job to get on your kid, to, you know, make sure that they're doing what they need to do, to be constantly cleaning them and making them stronger. But if they have that at the gym, and then they have that in the car, and then they have it on the way home, and then they have it at home as well, at what point are they making anyone proud? And I think parents forget that sometimes, and I constantly am reminding them, remember that with every word that comes out of your mouth, there's a piece of happiness that's leaving your child's head. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I express it that way, they're like, wow, you know, I never thought about it that way. I can't tell you how many times I've told some of my parents, go shopping. Leave your kid, go shopping. And they look at me like, what? I'm like, you trust me now, right? We've been here for a year together. You know what kind of a coach I am. You know I'm not beating anybody. You know I'm doing anything. Go shop. And they'll be like, okay. And then the parent will come back. I'm like, all right, you know, mental block gone. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yes, unfortunately, you need to go away.
To leave. But
I bet there's probably more of that needed than, you know.
Oh, gosh, you have no idea. And what they don't realize, and like I said, you know, I always talk to the parents and I tell them, listen, I know all you want is the best for your kid, because that's all any parent wants.
Even the crazy ones. I always defend even the craziest of the craziest, because I'm like, even that crazy, crazy mom, they're doing the best they can with the tools they have. Even as crazy, I know some crazy moms. Mm-hmm. They're always trying their best. They're just doing the best with the tools they can. Sometimes those tools aren't the most evolved.
Right.
But
they just love their kids, and they, you know, they're trying to do the best by them. They don't realize that sometimes, hey, listen, there's no book that explains to us how to be a parent. You have to have a license to catch a fish, to drive a car. I mean, but any crazy person can be a parent. Like, that's just part of life. There's no book. There's no, you know, okay, follow
these steps. There's no test.
You'll be fine. Yeah, there's no patent. It's just, you know, unfortunately, we learn as we go, and we all make mistakes. So I try to be that coach that helps guide the parents and go, okay, let's try it this way, because this way isn't working. Or and I sometimes I'm like, oh God, am I overstepping my boundaries? You know, I'll say, you know, I hope that you understand that I just have you and your kids' relationship at heart, because that really does matter to me more than what trophies they win. You know, down the road, cheerleading may end, you know, your kid may choose to do this later or may not, but what kind of other tools did we use, and did we put in our toolbox? Are you guys going to have that kind of relationship where she doesn't want to ever bring you around because you drive her nuts, or is she like, you know, my mom is my biggest support? Yeah. So that's what I try to do when we have the crazies, as I call them.
So when so do you think, because you're such a huge name in the industry, that you're able to like minimize all like the drama or the crazy parents or the, you know,
absolutely not.
No. Dang.
Listen, I could be God and people are going to question you. People are always going to have the negativity. I think that my years of experience have taught me how to better deal with things. And I do think it does give us some level of respect that when the drama comes, mm-hmm. and we face it, I think the parents and the kids both respect, okay, this is how they deal with it, and it won't continue. Mm-hmm. In that wise, I do believe that our years have brought us some kind of, you know, help. Mm-hmm. But everybody at every gym, I don't care how big or small you have, we all have the same problem. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's the same crazy parents. You may have more because your gym is bigger. It's, you know, the same kids going through the same things, you know, the same social media issues. I think you have that everywhere in the world. And it's a universal thing. And it's how you deal with it and how you bring it to the kids in a learning way. I think it's, you know, more than anything. But the only thing I would say, like, is truly that from our years, people do respect that we have the kids' best interest at heart or the parents' best interest at heart. And that they don't question anymore. And I think when I sit down with people, I think that I have probably the one attribute that I can say I've been very, very blessed with is that I do read people well and I know how to talk to people because I'm very, very empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, unless you've been standing in somebody else's shoes, unless you've walked their walk, you have no right to judge.
Yeah.
And so I always try to go into every conversation like that going, okay, you know, this person is probably going through some tough stuff. Let's get to the bottom of it and let's forgive it because everybody deserves forgiveness. You know, none of our kids have done anything that's so outrageous that it's unforgivable. It's all stuff that we probably did when we were younger. We just didn't have, you know, the right people to lead us in the right direction. So,
yeah, no, I think that's very, very, very true. I feel like, I'm very grateful that I didn't have social media when I was young because it would have ruined me. I would not have had, because I didn't, my mother was, I was raised in Florida in Hialeah. So we had one TV. And she, like, I read a lot and she wasn't monitoring what I was reading. She was just happy that I was reading. So.
Right. Well, you want to laugh. I tell my kids all the time, my kids are like, well, you know, I'm just not you. I can't be perfect. And I laugh and I go, oh, so you think I was perfect? I tell the kids all the time, I go, I made just as many stupid mistakes as you guys did. The only difference is there was nobody there to take a picture and post it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I always say to parents, like, we are so hard on ourselves as parents. Like you said, there was no book. No one handed me a book when I got my, when I had twins.
God bless you.
No one interviewed about, but I do feel that, in cheerleading, there's this wonderful opportunity. Like I can't wait to see what the future holds for cheerleading. If it becomes an Olympic sport, if the glam, you know, what happens with the glam, is it going to, how it's evolving? Cause I've just seen a little bit of how it's evolved in 4 or 5 years. You've been in it, you know, 20 some years.
Since the beginning. Since the birth.
25 years.
So what are some of the changes and involvement that you could, you know, take us through over the years? And how do you see the future kind of unfolding? Because
I have to tell you, I've seen both good and bad. The good has definitely been, you know, I love that our sport has gotten safer. I do love that there's accountability for certain actions from coaches. I think when we were younger, coaches were kind of allowed to fly off the handle and do crazy things, and they sometimes forgot that they were leading by example.
Yeah.
Little things like that, I think, have been fantastic. I do believe that the camaraderie has gotten much better. We're able to reach more people, and I think the amount of growth that cheerleading had, that's all the wonderful aspects of it. On the downside, in my personal opinion, and keep in mind this is just my personal opinion, I feel like it's gotten a little bit away from the, I'm going to call it the wow factor, because there's so much accountability now. Like, you know, you have to do this many of this to get this score, mm-hmm. this many of that to get, I feel like that has taken away from the creative aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be a level one thing, but it was the coolest level one thing in that level four routine I've ever seen in my life. So why shouldn't it be something that you waste time on? I use the word waste because that's what my coaches now use. Oh, I would love to do that. It's so much fun and the kids enjoy it, but it's wasting time that we don't have in the routine.
Mm.
And so I feel that we keep getting rid of the parts in cheerleading that the kids absolutely love, which is those fun moments, the dance. Those keep getting shorter and shorter. The eight counts keep happening faster and faster.
No, yes. Girl.
I know. Well, I laugh. I'm going to use large quote as my example, but when we, back in the day, would choreograph, we would just choreograph all fun things. And then our formations happen because we're like, okay, how can we get this kid from over here to over there and this to get to her to the next fun thing? And we would come up with a new fun way. Now we don't have that fun time. We have literally, you have to get there in two counts. What do you mean you can't get there? You can't put your wings on and fly while I'm away. And while you're there, when I hit play, the very first time that we throw this routine, all I'm going to say is, don't die. That's it. Those are your only directions. Don't die today. Like, it's crazy, you know, and what we require, like, especially when there's 38 of them on the floor, I tell Rich all the time, I'm so jealous of small teams. I go into a practice, I'm like, you have so much room for activity.
Right? You can do so much stuff.
With 38 of you, I'm like, just step over that girl and go kick her in the face. So, yeah, in that wise, I'm a little sad that it's gotten to a point where we still have to do so much, but it's not as fun. I almost feel like something's got to give. Either we need to bring back that creative fun aspect by making it something that's mandatory or allowing the routine to be longer so that we can slow everything down and have more fun again.
Seriously. Because you know, I love the dance. I'm not a cheerleader, but I love the dance portion of it.
And that's my favorite part.
I wish it was just a little longer sometimes.
I hated the whole like stunt and tumble part. Well, actually, I liked to stunt. I just didn't like to tumble. I could tumble. I just didn't like to tumble. But like I did that first like 2 minute and 15 seconds so I can get to the dance. That was the best part.
Right. And most kids do. Like, I mean, if you ask them, what part are you looking forward to learning choreography the most? They'll tell you the dance because it's usually the part where they get to just have a good time and it's stress free, you know? And I do believe that a lot of times when people are like, oh, kids are quitting, the sport's too hard. I don't disagree. The sport is very, very hard because we've gotten so good at it. And the better you get it, the harder it gets because it's harder to, I guess, deviate or I should say separate is the right word, separate the good from the green. Like it is, it gets harder and harder, but you can't lose that one thing that made you grow so fast, which was that they enjoyed doing it. And why? I know for us, it was always because our kids love doing innovative routines. They're like, what new thing is Coach Victor going to come up with today? And it's funny because like even sometimes we'd be like, okay, so we got this idea. It might kill a few people, but we're going to try jumping through hoops or we're going to try like, you know, pulling out a flag from your butt, literally. And most of the time, the kids would be like, cool, let's do it. Yeah, like instead of being, you know, he's crazy. Where did you guys go last night? And what's going on?
What was in that smoothie?
Right. It was those moments that they were like, no, let's do this. Think about how cool it's going to be when we pull it off. And those moments I see are fewer and fewer just because there's so much more to get done in that 2 minutes and 30 seconds. But again, that's just my little tidbit of, you know, the goods and the bad.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the glam of it? Cause we have like overreaching themes in the season, and the two this season were social media. You know, how we use it.
I've been avoiding this the entire time. That's why I kept saying the other thing. That's the glam. All right. So this is my take.
And this is your personal. It's not a reflection of your, you know, whole operation. It's just, you know.
Oh, no, yeah. Not at all. We are usually one of the most talked about, both good and bad, when it comes to uniforms and styles. And so this is my take on it.
This is the part I've been waiting for.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid it because I always get so attacked. But I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, I believe in the creative aspect. And I believe if you're putting something out that's different and that's new and that makes kids feel special and beautiful, that's awesome. I think that obviously you have to be very well aware of your audience. For instance, we would never put our little minis in the same outfits that you would put, you know, the large co-ed, or, you know, we are very careful, especially now because we've had some costume failures before. we've been a little more careful about, you know, which parts are covered and to make sure that they're covered strong enough and stuff like that. But as far as the makeup, this is what I tell my kids. From the judges' table, and it's just my opinion, from the judges' table, you only see really lipstick. That's all you see. Everything else, and only if you even have a bright enough color. The rest of it really is what makes the kid feel good. And if it makes them feel good to get glammed up, great. I want you to feel like a rock star. I don't want you to feel like a clown. I want you to feel like a rock star. So know the happy medium. I also express to them that when you're on the floor, and maybe it's because I come from a dance background, in dance, I mean, we painted eyebrows on our forehead and literally put like long mascara lashes on that were like drawn on. They were not even part of your eyes. So I'm all about the theatrical part of it. As long as you know that once you get off that stage, you're back to being a normal person and the rest of the world does not know that you were on stage. So at that point, you know, putting on a cover up, taking off the extra makeup, you know, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I try to teach our kids that same thing. Like, you know, when they leave our gym, I tell them all the time, you got to put a cover up on. Are you walking to the gas station like that? And they look at, well, because that's what they need to be made aware of.
Yeah, no, it's true.
They're like, what? I'm like, at the gas station, they're not cheerleaders. There might be a bunch of crazy people, and you never know. There might be a few pedophiles.
No, it's true.
You have to open your eyes. So I try to make our kids aware. I don't believe it's nor a bad nor a good thing. People laugh at me all the time because they say that cheerleading is like a crossbreed between beauty pageants and like a sport. But I tell them that sometimes that's what the beauty is of it. Now, I do think that some get a little overzealous when it comes to like hairstyles. And when I see minis that look like they're about to fall over because their posh pony is bigger than their body, and they're like those little pet shops. And like, they lean one way and their whole body goes like, oh god, the sun is going down.
Oh, the pet shop.
But for the most part, I mean, I think I've been a firm believer that it's, you know, it's about part of the theatrics. That's what makes our sport so cool, is that we are a crossbreed and we do have the theatrical end along with, you know, the sport. And I'm okay with it. I don't want to say being dummied down. That's not the right word. I'm okay with them putting kind of a cap on it, because sometimes people do get, like I said, a little over ridiculous. But to me, I'm okay with it either way. I just want the kids to feel and be happy.
Yeah, we had a Sharita on recently from Black Girls Cheer, and she said, we asked her the question, and she said something about the empowerment for the older girls. So it's like
cheerleading is the only sport where a woman can feel
the female, you know, empowerment, yes. You know, be like in her own power. And since then, I've been thinking about it more and more. And I always, you know, to your point, the minis, I kind of like, I wish the minis were treated a little bit differently. Maybe I don't really have strong feelings about it because I don't have a mini. but for the older girls, I'm landing now, as we're getting closer to the end of the season, and we've asked this question of many people, I'm kind of landing on, it's a production. It's a whole the whole thing. And I don't, if this was like a guy dominated sport, this would not be a question.
Oh no, absolutely not. You're right. It wouldn't be a question. I think that, again, because we are a crossbreed, it has so many elements that other sports don't have. And so that does cause a lot of, I'm going to call it talk and chaos. Sometimes people make a big deal of something that doesn't need to be made a big deal of. And generally, our sport is still a baby when you think about some of the sports that have been around. I keep calling it a sport because in my eyes, what our children do, it's hard.
It's a sport.
It requires... Yeah. It requires a bit of training. So that's why I keep calling it a sport. I know that some people would disagree with me, but that's why I'm going to keep calling it a sport. But,
no, we filed the podcast under sport.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
Okay. That makes me feel better. But yes, I think that because it's still generally new, there's still a lot of uncharted waters. And so a lot of times, we make a big deal out of something and then go, you know what? It really wasn't a big deal. Do I really care about, the size of eyelashes that kid wears? I only should care if it affects their performance. Now, if it's a safety issue, absolutely. And I think that that's where it's getting sometimes mixed. Some people call certain things safety issues. Other people are like, no, that's not a safety issue. That's just, me trying to feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I truly don't have an exact standpoint. I believe you should be creative. That's what our sport is about. It's about coming up with new and great things and making people feel wonderful about themselves. But as long as you're doing it safely, I guess is the way I should say it.
Yeah. I'm landing towards, I can't wait to see what I'm looking forward next season to see what the new...
Yeah.
What is Top Gun coming up with next season?
ooh, can we talk about that?
I can't tell you that. If I told you that, I would take all of the surprise elements.
Do you already have ideas for next season?
Can I say someone please do a John Hughes?
You do? Like, oh my God, okay.
Do I what? I'm sorry?
I said I want someone to do a John Hughes kind of theme. You know John Hughes, like Pretty in Pink and...
Ooh. Oh my God, that would be so amazing.
Something like all those, from the 90s, early 90s.
Oh, those movies? Mm-hmm. I want to know, Kristen, how this year's uniform came about, like from the coach, like from behind.
We heard it from Seth. Seth was on the show and he told us about it and it was cool.
Yeah, so Victor told you how we came about the theme, right?
That you guys saw, you like had a meeting and you watched a couple episodes and what it meant, the sensei, the theory behind it. It was very thoughtful. It wasn't like, hey...
And for me, it was really interesting. Okay, because so growing up, I was like a Karate Kid fanatic. Like, I loved the Karate Kid. And so when I found out that Cobra Kai came out, at first I was a little leery. I was like, well, I don't want to root for the bad guy. And then when I saw the series, it made me say to myself, oh my goodness, Kristen, I can't believe you just did that. It's so true. The way that you live life always saying, you don't know unless you walk someone else's shoes. And here I watched the movie and never thought, what kind of a life did the bad guy have, right? Mm. And so in watching the Cobra Kai series, you actually feel and fall in love with, I'm going to call him the bad guy, but Johnny Lawrence. You're like, oh my God, he's such a good person. He just is so rough around the edges because of the way his life was. And so after seeing it, I told Victor, I was like, this is so amazing. The fact that I got to see the other side of it. And at the time we were kind of playing around with the themes. And the bottom line with Cobra Kai, it's, about teaching kids that you can get through whatever. And that's pretty much when he opens up his dojo. And although he has a very rough and very funny way of doing it, he's truly trying to help kids get through the tough parts of their lives. And that's kind of what we do. That's what we're here for more than anything. And so that's why we ended up choosing that theme. And the way that the costume or the uniform came about is because we watched the old Karate Kid and we kind of took what Johnny Lawrence wore in his final battle and we kind of mimicked it and made it our own, and that's how we came about it. We might have a few surprises up our sleeve.
Oh my god.
Well, I'm okay. Gonna say, like, as a spectator, so that when it first dropped, on social media, I think the first thing I snapped a picture of it, sent it to Marcus, and I was like, you cannot wear a uniform like this unless you're going to bring it. And I had no doubt that you guys were going to bring it. So it wasn't like I was throwing down or anything.
It was already brought.
But I was like, okay. Then I watched the, but you hadn't competed before the we saw the unis, right? Mm-hmm. The next day was the competition. You guys brought it. And then.
Thank you.
If you saw, like, if, because I, you know, have to, for work, keep up with social media. And so what I watched, what I thought was really interesting when it came to you guys and your uniforms, is I watched the whole evolution from, oh my God, like the atom bomb dropped on the cheerleading world with these uniforms one day. Everyone had an opinion so quickly. They just all had an opinion. And then within 24 hours, the change. And now, look, we're months out, we're at the end of the season, and it's so iconic. I'll be 70 years old, I'll remember that uniform. So it's just amazing as a spectator to see how it all kind of comes together and evolves.
It's funny that you say that. So we've always said, it doesn't matter what we do, it matters that we inspire. And it's always been, when we first came out with boots, everybody talked about them and horrible they were, and now we have every single uniform company calling us to ask us how exactly they're made. When we first came up with a tube top uniform, the shoulders were out, everybody commented on it. You know, obviously now the platform is much better because of social media, so we always get what I call hits. I mean, the punches, they come. And I try to tell my kids all the time, because they always tell me, they're like, how do you not get on social media and just blast everybody? And I always tell them two things. Number one, today you question me, tomorrow you understand me, and 2 years from now you're gonna want to be me.
Ooh.
And
that's an Oprah quote right there.
but that's what happens with any inventor.
It's true.
In the history of the world. And so you have to understand that the hits are going to come. That's part of being a creator. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that there's going to be a critic. I mean, I guarantee you that every artist that has ever made anything of himself had the people that just looked at it and laughed, you know, and it's just part of what you have to get used to. Sometimes I take it to heart only because I know it hurts my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh my goodness, they're saying such horrible things about us. And it breaks me for them. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I constantly try to remind them that, you know, the path of a leader is always the hardest. And, you know, being a follower is so much easier because the path is already laid for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always say, don't look back. I don't look like the people that are, you know, talking crap about me or, you know, questioning anything that I'm doing, I'm always like, well, they're behind, like, they're watching me.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
I'm not going to.
At the end of the day, they're still somewhat of a fan.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to stop my momentum to turn around and give that attention. I'm just going to focus forward and keep going and do me.
And the bottom line is, you have to know yourself. For instance, I tell my kids, you know, live your life in a way that if anybody spoke poorly of you, the people that mattered wouldn't really believe it. Because at the end of the day, the people that know us know that we do everything with good intentions. We would have never created something with an intention to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm. No,
to upset anybody. So if you knew me, you would be able to look at it and go, now I know she didn't mean anything bad by that. If anything, she had all the best
intentions,
you know. And as a person, I can go to bed every night going, I had the best intentions. Darn, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but I didn't set out to hurt anybody, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I always that's how I kind of live my life is, I always question people's intentions, like when anything, from anything I watch on the news to what I read to who I speak to, what I have a conversation. What was the intention behind that comment? What was the intention behind this offer? What was the intention behind? Because it just gives me clarity on how I don't like to react. I like to be very thoughtful in the things that I do. And I've learned that living intentionally is the best. It's for me, it's a spiritual practice. It's how I want to live my life. And like,
and
we,
it's not always easy, you know, but it sometimes the road less taken is the better road.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, we talk about like drama and, you know, negative people and all that. It's sort of like, what I give attention to is what grows. So I try really hard not to give attention to the negative. I just try to give attention to the positive, which I'm going to end my portion of this. We're going to throw you over to Marcus for the final part of the interview. But I know you're not on social media, but I am going to read to you a tweet that I think perfectly sums up what I was told about you before getting to talk to you, and now I certainly feel this way after speaking with you. It says, Victor and Kristen Rosario are two of the most humble coaches in the industry. They raise two beautiful and smart girls who are amazing at the sport. They never listen to any negative things about their teams. They're sitting on the throne, unbothered, and that's the T.
Unbothered, literally.
I love that.
Wow.
And
that
after
beautiful.
Yeah, and after speaking to you, I just feel your positive attitude, your energy, and I'm really grateful that you came on the podcast. I'm really grateful that Victor came on. I'd love to have you back on in future seasons, and
I would love to have your daughters on because I want to do a kids of gym owners portion, and I think that would be awesome.
I could definitely talk to them for you. They do try to stay off of a lot of the outlets because of the way that we raise.
we understand.
But I'm sure, you know, that if we explained to them what it was, they'd be, you know, somewhat interested. I definitely would be happy to talk to them. I will tell you guys, it's been a pleasure to do this. I was a little bit leery at first because I was like, oh no, Victor, what kind of questions are they going to ask me? And he's like, no, it was so easy, and it was honestly, it really was. Thank you guys. It's been awesome.
Oh, thank you. And we, you know, the reason we, I think, really ultimately do this is because we want the whole cheerleading industry, the ones who don't get to go to Worlds, the ones that don't get to go to Summit, but who still love the sport, who still watch you guys, who love you guys, get to also now experience you.
Yes.
In perpetuity.
I think that's my favorite part.
That's one of our biggest, we're so lucky. I have to tell you, we have some of the best fans in the world. That's one thing that I don't know what we did to deserve such wonderful people. But the amount of outpouring of love that we get, it triples, quadruples the few negative comments that we get from time to time. So if any of our fans do end up listening, I would love to tell them that I'm just so grateful, so grateful. I'm humbled every time my kids perform at the amount of, you know, positive energy they provide.
Okay, so from here, I would like to do Marcus's not so rapid fire questions. I would just want to hear like the first thing or like your favorite thing that pops in your head. Just a little something for everyone to get to know you just a little bit better.
Okay.
We'll start with something easy. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food. Ooh, growing up, it would be macaroni and cheese. I don't know now. I'm a nitpicky person, so I eat a little bit of everything. I try a little bit of everything, but I don't eat big portions.
That is absolutely my favorite. So
I can tell you my favorite dessert. My favorite dessert, or if you want to call it dessert, it's a chocolate. And thank God it only comes around Easter, because if not, I'd weigh 400 pounds. Are those little eggs with the cream inside of them?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, I love those.
Oh my God. We are the same person. Do you have, or what TV show are you watching?
Right now, Victor and I, we tend to watch things on like Netflix, just because we don't have time to watch like regular shows.
Absolutely.
But Right now, we're actually watching Criminal Minds, which is next Netflix. It. We're really excited about Game of Thrones coming on again because we do watch that. And the new Cobra Kai series comes out the like 4 days right before we leave the world. So we're super excited about this.
Awesome. Okay, onto the like big stuff. Do you have a Top Gun All Stars routine that really stands out to you? Like, what's your favorite Top Gun routine?
I don't have a favorite routine. I do have favorite sections.
Okay.
So my favorite dance ever was the score tonight. And
Stop it. Yeah. I do that dance daily, honestly. It is my
favorite. One of my favorite pyramids was Turn the Beat Around.
Yes.
One of my favorite tumbling sections was last year when our last tumbling path kept going and landed on the girl's shoulders. Mm. Or sorry, 2017. See, Victor just told me. He goes, that was 2017. I told you he's the encyclopedia. but I just remember, like, sections. I can't tell you that there was one routine that I loved, like, absolutely more than everything.
No.
But I have a lots of moments. I remember moments all the time.
Is there a program that really stands out to you apart from Top Gun? Like is there a program that really stands out in like sportsmanship and showmanship, athleticism that really like stands out to you?
Oh, there's a few that I admire. It would be hard for me to pick any one.
Give me all of them.
Oh God, there really are a few. So I love World Cup because they always do theme things. I'm always interested in finding out what new thing they're going to do.
Same.
I love Cheer Athletics because they're just such a powerhouse, and their owners, with the amount of kids that they have and the way that their products, you know, all their kids look so amazing. I'm so impressed by that always. I'm always amazed by, I know this sounds funny, I'm always amazed by what Happy Hooper with his A-team,
yes,
what he puts out. He always comes out with a really cool thing, and it's always innovative, and I love that he still strives to do that. I know I'm probably missing a whole bunch, but there's so many programs. Stingrays, oh my God, with how clean they are, they always impress me. I guess there's just so many that I can pick something amazing about each one, but if I were to say who is the most, when it comes to camaraderie and how sportsmanship and how they raise their kids, I'm trying to think of who I would probably say. There's so many. I wish there was one that stuck out above everybody else, but there's just so many. I would have to probably say at least, you know, I'm sure people would differ with me because of, you know, their experiences, but I know a group that's always really wonderful as a program, and I feel like they're always very supportive of each other and of others. I'm almost scared to say this. I feel like I'm going to be attacked, but I love Maryland Twisters. I feel like they're very good with each other. Like I always see them come support each other and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. And last one, I always like to end with this one. What or who are you grateful for?
What or who am I grateful for? Oh, I'm grateful for so many things. I'm grateful for my mother, who definitely raised me. Oh, I just got watery eyed. I'm sorry. definitely raised me to be a strong woman. She was a single mom and worked 2 and 3 jobs. And I think I definitely get my work ethic from her because she never lacked anything we needed. I'm grateful for my husband because he definitely is my best friend through good and bad. He loves me despite all my faults.
I haven't.
Sorry. That one. And of course, for my children, although I'm sure that their mother drives them crazy, they are by far my two best inventions.
Aww. Thank you so much.
No, this has been the best hour that we've ever spent on the phone. Well, no. But this has been awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, no. Absolutely. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Marcus.
Okay. I need my tissues.
Season two is coming to an end. Thank you.
No, thank you.
I can't believe we did this.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. It flew by this season.
Yes.
It flew by.
It was so much fun.
Off the top of my head, I need to thank Cheer Music Central.
Absolutely.
They gave us our intro music this year. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. Thank you to all our guests. We are going to do a recap of our season after D2.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you. We would be nothing.
Literally nothing.
Without you guys coming on. And I have to give a special long thank you to Sean, the producer guy. I know Marcus and I have driven you crazy this year with our mic bumps and
our side little some things and not talking loud enough.
And our edits. Thank
you're amazing.
You are amazing. And we are, you know, we would not be where we are without you.
Absolutely not. Because I can't do that. Absolutely.
So thank you so much. And thank you all the listeners. You know, we have a certain...
Kennedy. Our intern, Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, she's going to be on our podcast, so I can thank her in person.
The world needs to know who she is.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Well, the world does know who she is.
The listeners. I mean, we have, you know, they say in podcasting, the first 24 hours after you upload a podcast, it is the highest percentage of downloads. And we now have such a following that, like, the minute we download, like, even, because sometimes I do it on the Thursday, sometimes mm-hmm. I do it on a Friday, we get thousands of downloads. I mean, people are waiting to listen to us.
That's
which
so exciting.
Is humbling.
Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk that someone want to listen to us talk about cheerleading?
As I'm sweating in my Prius. And
where it started.
Where it all started. But thank you, listeners.
Thank you so much.
I'm humbled. I'm absolutely humbled because I still don't know what, you know, what I'm doing. And thank you, Marcus. No, you are the best podcasting co-host.
You, no, stop it. Stop it right now. Literally wouldn't be here in this hot Prius without you.
All right, guys, that's it. That's a wrap.
Look for me at D2.
Oh, hey, before you go, this is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to be part of the Cheerbomb family and show your support, jump to our website at www.cheerbomb.com and check out our Cheerbomb merchandise for sale, or find out how you can support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheerbomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast with your friends. Have a great week.
Cheerbomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.